Today is the 14th day of June. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Ryan. Welcome back around the global campfire. Welcome to a brand new week. It is a brand new, shiny week, right? Shiny and new, like a new car with 0 miles on it, or a new anything. It's shiny and sparkly, like that brand new paint job on that brand new car. No dings, no dents, no scratches, no little thing to obsess about. It's brand new. It's shiny new. It's sparkly new. This is a new week, and we will write upon it every scratch and dent of our lives and the way we choose to live it in this week. Or we'll take good care of it, like it matters, and watch out for it, like it matters, and be the better for it as we continue to grow by paying attention to ourselves, the choices that we make, the words that we speak to ourselves inside our heads, and the words that come flying out of our mouths that we can never unsay, the opinions that would only make things better for ourselves, but are really not thinking of anyone else, the things that we do that cause damage, that then causes the need for repair, and then if we don't do the repair, well, then we are compounding our issues and problems and bitternesses and resentments in all of our relationships. And the internal conflict can lead us down some really, really horrible paths that end up in really dark places. So we get to a new week. We huddle up here around the global campfire. We look out over it. I'm looking out over the rolling hills of Tennessee, out the big window, seeing the mountains in the distance. Everything has turned lush and green and hot here in the hills. But that's the week I'm looking at out in front of me. And you can imagine what your week is looking like. And man, I'm hoping to do better than last week. And hoping to do better than the week before. Like I'm hoping to catch myself more and more and more in the triggers and in the responses, and be more like I claim my faith is, right? This is the work of it. This is what we do. This is our spirituality. This is our faith. This is what we believe. This is how it goes. And we hear, but we follow the teachings of Jesus because we believe he's the Lord. We believe he's God, and he reveals to us through the teachings and through his life what God is like, because that's where we're going. Like, that's the process of sanctification, becoming Christ like Christ. That's not really going to happen if we're not even paying attention to how we're being at all. And so, brand new week. It's a shiny one. Is it going to be shiny when we get to the end of it? Let's choose wisely. Let's use the voice of wisdom that is at every crossroads. We might leave this week and this world a better place than it is right now. At least the world that we, like the sphere of influence that we have anything to do with. Our spouses, our children, our relationships, our communities. And part of the way that that happens, and a very, very influential way that that happens, is that we show up here around the global campfire every day together to take another step forward, Because the scriptures, man, we read them, but they read us. And if we will let them, and we will obey them, they will change us. So let's take that next step forward. We're in a brand new week. We'll read from the New Living Translation this week. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 20 through 13, verse 34 today. When the people of Israel learned of Jeroboam's return from Egypt, they called an assembly and made him king over all Israel. So only the tribe of Judah remained loyal to the family of David. When Rehoboam arrived at Jerusalem, he mobilized the men of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 select troops, to fight against the men of Israel and to restore the kingdom to himself. But God said to Shemaiah, the man of God, "Say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all the people of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, this is what the Lord says. Do not fight against your relatives, the Israelites. Go back home, for what has happened is my doing." So they obeyed the message of the Lord and went home as the Lord had commanded. Jeroboam then built up the city of Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and it became his capital. Later, he went and built up the town of Peniel. Jeroboam thought to himself, "Unless I am careful, the kingdom will return to the dynasty of David. When these people go to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices at the temple of the Lord, they will again give their allegiance to King Rehoboam of Judah. They will kill me and make him their king instead." So on the advice of his counselors, the king made two gold calves. He said to the people, "It is too much trouble for you to worship in Jerusalem. Look, Israel, these are the gods who brought you out of Egypt." He placed these calf idols in Bethel and in Dan, at either end of his kingdom. But this became a great sin, for the people worshipped the idols, traveling as far north as Dan to worship the one there. Jeroboam also erected buildings at the pagan shrines and ordained priests from the common people, those who were not from the priestly tribe of Levi. And Jeroboam instituted a religious festival in Bethel, held on the 15th day of the 8th month, in imitation of the annual festival of shelters in Judah. There at Bethel, he himself offered sacrifices to the calves he had made, and he appointed priests for the pagan shrines he had made. So on the 15th day of the 8th month, a day that he himself had designated, Jeroboam offered sacrifices on the altar at Bethel. He instituted a religious festival for Israel, and he went up to the altar to burn incense. At the Lord's command, a man of God from Judah went to Bethel, arriving there just as Jeroboam was approaching the altar to burn incense. Then at the Lord's command, he shouted, "O altar, altar, this is what the Lord says. A child named Josiah will be born into the dynasty of David. On you he will sacrifice the priests from the pagan shrines who come here to burn incense, and human bones will be burned on you." That same day, the man of God gave a sign to prove his message. He said, "The Lord has promised to give this sign. This altar will split apart and its ashes will be poured out on the ground." When King Jeroboam heard the man of God speaking against the altar at Bethel, he pointed at him and shouted, "Seize that man!" But instantly the king's hand became paralyzed in that position and he couldn't pull it back. At the same time, a wide crack appeared in the altar and the ashes poured out, just as the man of God had predicted in his message from the Lord. The king cried out to the man of God, "Please ask the Lord your God to restore my hand again." So the man of God prayed to the Lord, and the king's hand was restored, and he could move it again. Then the king said to the man of God, "Come to the palace with me and have something to eat, and I will give you a gift." But the man of God said to the king, "Even if you gave me half of everything you own, I would not go with you. I would not eat or drink anything in this place. For the Lord gave me this command. You must not eat or drink anything while you are there, and do not return to Judah by the same way you came." So he left Bethel and went home another way. As it happened, there was an old prophet living in Bethel, and his sons came home and told him what the man of God had done in Bethel that day. They also told their father what the man had said to the king. The old prophet asked them, "Which way did he go?" So they showed their father which road the man of God had taken. "Quick, saddle the donkey," the old man said. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he mounted it. Then he rode after the man of God and found him sitting under a great tree. The old prophet asked him, "Are you the man of God who came from Judah?" "Yes, I am," he replied. Then he said to the man of God, "Come home with me and eat some food." "No, I cannot," he replied. "I am not allowed to eat or drink anything here in this place. For the Lord gave me this command. You must not eat or drink anything while you are there, and do not return to Judah by the same way you came." But the old prophet answered, "I am a prophet too, just as you are. And an angel gave me this command from the Lord. Bring him home with you, so he can have something to eat and drink." But the old man was lying to him. So they went back together, and the man of God ate and drank at the prophet's home. Then, while they were sitting at the table, a command from the Lord came to the old prophet. He cried out to the man of God from Judah, "This is what the Lord says. You have defied the word of the Lord and have disobeyed the command the Lord your God gave you. You came back to this place and ate and drank where he told you not to eat or drink. Because of this, your body will not be buried in the grave of your ancestors." After the man of God had finished eating and drinking, the old prophet saddled his own donkey for him, and the man of God started off again. But as he was traveling along, a lion came out and killed him. His body lay there on the road with the donkey and the lion standing beside it. People who passed by saw the body lying in the road and the lion standing beside it, and they went and reported it in Bethel, where the old prophet lived. When the prophet heard the report, he said, "It is the man of God who disobeyed the Lord's command. The Lord has fulfilled his word by causing the lion to attack and kill him." Then the prophet said to his sons, "Saddle a donkey for me." So they saddled the donkey, and he went out and found the body lying in the road. The donkey and the lion were still standing there beside it, for the lion had not eaten the body nor attacked the donkey. So the prophet laid the body of the man of God on the donkey and took it back to the town to mourn over him and bury him. He laid the body in his own grave, crying out in grief, "Oh, my brother." Afterward, the prophet said to his sons, "When I die, bury me in the grave where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones." For the message the Lord told him to proclaim against the altar in Bethel and against the pagan shrines in the towns of Samaria will certainly come true. But even after this, Jeroboam did not turn from his evil ways. He continued to choose priests from the common people. He appointed anyone who wanted to become a priest for the pagan shrines. This became a great sin and resulted in the utter destruction of Jeroboam's dynasty from the face of the earth. Acts 9, 26 through 43. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They did not believe he had truly become a believer. Then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus, and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. So Saul stayed with the apostles and went all around Jerusalem with them, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. He debated with some Greek-speaking Jews, but they tried to murder him. When the believers heard about this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus, his hometown. The church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord. And with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in numbers. Meanwhile, Peter traveled from place to place, and he came down to visit the believers in the town of Lydda. There he met a man named Aeneas, who had been paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your sleeping mat." And he was healed instantly. Then the whole population of Lydda and Sharon saw Aeneas walking around, and they turned to the Lord. There was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. About this time, she became ill and died. Her body was washed for burial and laid in an upstairs room. But the believers had heard that Peter was nearby at Lydda, so they sent 2 men to beg him, "Please come as soon as possible." So Peter returned with them, and as soon as he arrived, they took him to the upstairs room. The room was filled with widows who were weeping and showing him the coats and other clothes Dorcas had made for them. But Peter asked them all to leave the room. Then he knelt and prayed. Turning to the body, he said, "Get up, Tabitha." And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then he called in the widows and all the believers, and he presented her to them alive. The news spread through the whole town, and many believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed a long time in Joppa, living with Simon, a tanner of hides. Psalm 132, a song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. Lord, remember David and all that he suffered. He made a solemn promise to the Lord. He vowed to the Mighty One of Israel, "I will not go home. I will not let myself rest. I will not let my eyes sleep, nor close my eyelids in slumber until I find a place to build a house for the Lord, a sanctuary for the Mighty One of Israel." We heard that the ark was in Ephrathah. Then we found it in the distant countryside of Jair. Let us go to the sanctuary of the Lord. Let us worship at the footstool of his throne. Arise, O Lord, and enter your resting place, along with the ark, the symbol of your power. May your priests be clothed in godliness. May your loyal servants sing for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not reject the king you have anointed. The Lord swore an oath to David with a promise he will never take back. I will place one of your descendants on your throne. If your descendants obey the terms of my covenant and the laws that I teach them, then your royal line will continue forever and ever. For the Lord has chosen Jerusalem. He has desired it for his home. This is my resting place forever, he said. I will live here, for this is the home I desired. I will bless this city and make it prosperous. I will satisfy its poor with food. I will clothe its priests with godliness. Its faithful servants will sing for joy. Here, I will increase the power of David. My anointed one will be a light for my people. I will clothe his enemies with shame, but he will be a glorious king. Proverbs 17:6. Grandchildren are the crowning glory of the aged. Parents are the pride of their children. Father, we thank you for your word. And as we move into and through the center of this sixth month of the year, we thank you for new beginnings, new mercies every morning, but we pay attention to the fact that we're beginning a brand new week. And it is a gift, and it's new. And so it shines and sparkles like something new. And it's given to us as a gift. This is the gift of life. The gift of the opportunity, the volition, the power to choose how to spend this life, this gift that you've given us. And so we can spend it destroying everything around us or repairing everything around us. We choose to repair. Give us the strength and humility to do the work that we need to do so that we walk into this week and come out the other side better than we are now. Because we can certainly do the opposite and come out way worse, having really, really done damage. Lead us into all truth. Where else can we start but by facing the truth, as difficult as it may be? Sometimes lead us deeper into Jesus and the way that he has shown us that life works. We ask in his name. Amen.
Hello from beautiful Cincinnati, Ohio. It's Daniel Johnson Jr. How are you? So good to be here with you today. I am sending in a prayer request for myself. There's two really big things that I have going on. One is I have been diagnosed with this skin condition called prurigo nodularis. It causes my skin to itch and these lesions to develop, and they're not contagious or anything like that. It feels like my skin, like I'm sunburned all the time. And as you can tell, it has messed with my ability to sleep, interactions with other people, that sort of thing. Working on getting some medicine that's really expensive, but I'm working on getting that. And that kind of leads me into the next thing. My unemployment for the job that I lost in December has run out, and I don't have anything yet going for me as far as another job. I've been applying, I have interviewed, and nothing has panned out yet. And the whole mess of everything that's going on related to that. We talked at church last night about sometimes you may be doing everything that right. You may be knowing it, you know, what to do and everything, but you're just going through a dry season. And I feel like I've been going through a dry 6 months, maybe longer, I don't know, but God knows what he's doing. He has set matter to be matter and energy to be energy, and Jesus somehow holds it all together. So I don't know what that means for me, but please pray. I know when I send this out to you, don't send anything out as a prayer request if you don't want people to pray for you. So thank you so much. From beautiful Cincinnati, Ohio, it's Daniel Johnson Jr. Make it a great day.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible. This is Cynthia from Virginia. This morning, I'd like to thank the Harden family, all those behind the scene that make this possible. I want to thank God for his word being heard, read, and listened to all around the world. I pray that each of us that hear it will receive it in our hearts on good soil. We will understand it, apply it to our lives, and spread it to others, and be doers of your word. Lord, I thank you for your supernatural, miraculous healing and blessings that you bestow on each one of us. Help us, Lord, to encourage and pray and love one another. Lord, thank you for your comfort and your peace that you give that surpasses all understanding. I come to you this morning, Lord, praying for my brother Thaddeus Muse, praying that you will touch his body, Father God. If there's any cancer in his body, just touch it and take it away. Father, help the doctors when they shoot that dye in him to see that there is no cancer because you have healed it. Help him, Father, to have faith and trust and believe that when he prayed for something that you answered it, and him believe that it is done right then and there. Give him the faith to just say, thank you, Jesus, and truly believe. I pray this prayer in your precious son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, my wonderful DAB family. This is Rosie, a.k.a. Great to Be Free in Jesus. I was calling in to say hello, and I'm so glad you're finally listening to my grandson, Daniel Nehemiah. And I'm sure some of you will remember because I asked you to pray for him because he was out in the world and wasn't doing what God called him to do. And so you guys prayed for him, and God got a hold of him, and he went to John 3:16 mission, and his whole life is turned around. I'm so proud of him now. I was proud of him before, but I'm more proud of him now. And I just want to let you know that he's got a full-time job. He has his own car. He is working on winning people to the Lord, and he's also going to school because he wants to become a machinist. And I was just calling to let you guys know, and I'm hoping that some of you will call in and welcome him to the Daily Audio Bible. I love you, my wonderful DAB family, and thank you so much for your prayers. Bye-bye.
Hello, everyone. Happy Thursday. This is Rama's Dragonfly, and I am calling in for Brianna. Brianna, you called to encourage someone who had recently lost a family member to a horrific murder because you too have been through something as tragic and you wanted to encourage them. I want to call in and encourage you. A verse came to my mind as I was listening to your message, and it is this. It is Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I claim that verse for you, as I know it is already happening. It has been happening from the moment it all started, and it will continue to pull you through to the end when you see her again. You are mounting up. Your wings are spreading. And God is giving you the strength every day to continue on in this life as an encouragement and strength to others. And to the family who lost a mother of four to also a horrible murder, I don't remember your name and I don't remember her name, but I also am praying for you guys. I pray for strength, endurance, grace, and comfort from the Lord as you go through this. And for those four children, that you will give them the love and support they need through Jesus Christ, who strengthens you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
This is Larry. I go by the old guy out here in Iowa. I don't call in very often, but since Sunday, I've been in the worst pain I've ever been in my life. I've got a ruptured disc in my back, and it's got pain all the way down to my leg. I asked the Lord to help me with this. I don't know if I can make it or not. I'm 82 years old. Thanks a lot.
Hi, it's Kiwi Marion here from New Zealand. It's June 11 here, and I just feel I want to pray for all those that have called in this morning for prayer. and I want to uplift them all to God. And that each situation, Father, you are in it, you are there, you are working. And I just pray that you hear these prayers and you're answering and you hear their heart and their cry out to you. Father, I just pray for your hand in the situation, that your will be done. And today's blessing, today's psalm, that was so beautiful. I pray that blessing over each and every person who called in this morning and everyone of the DAB family, as Brian also prayed for us. And I just really pray for your hand, Father. I really feel you wanted me to pray today for each of these people, and that you are hearing, you are answering, and you are working. And even if we can't see it, that you are working in the background, and that things will be happening, and that things, that you know the heart, you know the cry of our heart, you know what we need, and you provide our every need. And I just thank you so much for that, Father. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.